Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Healing Sexual Trauma Workbook, A Survivor's Guide to Recovery, Empowerment, and Self-Care, CPTSD, PT as a Guided Self-Help Workbook by Paulo Ocampo, presented as a resource for people healing after sexual trauma. Available descriptions identify Ocampo as both a survivor of sexual abuse and a certified trauma practitioner, positioning the book at the intersection of lived experience and trauma-informed practice. Rather than offering a purely explanatory account of trauma, the workbook emphasizes structured participation through reflective prompts, body-oriented exercises, and practical self-care tools. Its stated focus includes post-traumatic stress symptoms, complex trauma, nervous system responses, emotional regulation, body reconnection, self-trust, boundaries, and supportive relationships. The central purpose is not to promise a uniform recovery path, but to provide accessible practices that may help readers approach recovery gradually and with greater agency, because sexual trauma can affect safety, memory, emotion, and relationships differently across individuals. The workbook format allows readers to move at a personally manageable pace and select exercises that fit their current capacity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a workbook format that prioritizes paced and self-directed engagement. The defining feature of Ocampo's book is its use of the workbook form rather than a solely instructional trauma guide. This matters because recovery-oriented reading can become emotionally demanding when it concerns sexual trauma, PTSD, or complex PTSD. Prompts and exercises create opportunities for active reflection, but they also allow a reader to pause, return later, or focus on one area without needing to absorb a linear theory-heavy narrative. Based on the available description, journaling is used for reflection and emotional release, while practical activities address confidence, boundaries, and symptom management. These elements make the book oriented toward practice rather than passive reassurance. The approach implicitly recognizes that insight alone may not change trauma-related patterns. A person may understand that an experience was not their fault, yet still struggle with bodily alarm, shame, distrust, or difficulty saying no. Structured exercises can help translate broad intentions, such as feeling safer or becoming more confident, into repeatable actions and observations. The format also supports individual variation. One reader may use grounding practices most often, while another may find boundary reflection or self-trust exercises more relevant. This flexibility is useful, although a workbook cannot assess individual risk, diagnose symptoms, or replace trauma-focused clinical care when that level of support is needed. Secondly, nervous system awareness and grounding as foundations for trauma regulation. The book reportedly explains how trauma affects the nervous system and includes neuroscience-informed strategies for emotional regulation. This focus is significant because trauma responses are not limited to conscious memories or beliefs. Survivors may experience activations such as panic, vigilance, anger, racing thoughts, or bodily tension, as well as shutdown, numbness, disconnection, and difficulty identifying feelings. A nervous system lens can reduce the tendency to interpret these reactions as personal failure. Instead, the reactions can be understood as protective responses that may persist after danger has passed. Grounding practices are therefore positioned as practical ways to orient toward present safety, rather than as demands to suppress emotion or quickly move beyond the past. The available descriptions do not provide a complete protocol, so the book should not be read as making clinical claims about a particular technique. Its stated contribution is more accessible. It breaks down regulation, grounding, and emotional expression into usable concepts and exercises. This is particularly relevant for readers with PTSD or CPTSD symptoms, for whom reflective work may sometimes intensify distress. Beginning with regulation skills can make later journaling, relationship work, or body reconnection more manageable. The emphasis also supports a non-judgmental interpretation of fluctuating capacity. A difficult day may call for stabilization rather than deep exploration. Thirdly, somatic and body reconnection practices address trauma beyond verbal reflection. A distinctive element in the book description is its inclusion of somatic experiencing techniques and gentle practices for reconnecting with the body. Sexual trauma can alter a person's relationship to bodily sensations, touch, movement, and physical boundaries. Some survivors feel detached from their bodies, while others experience sensations as intrusive or alarming. A body-oriented component is therefore relevant, because trauma recovery is not always fully addressed through analysis or verbal processing alone. The stated use of gentle practices is important. It suggests that reconnection is approached as gradual noticing and choice, not as forced exposure to distressing sensations or pressure to feel comfortable in the body immediately. Within a trauma-informed framework, agency is central. Readers need room to decide whether an exercise feels tolerable, when to stop, and how to return to a sense of stability. Somatic work can complement journaling by helping readers identify present moment cues of activation, settling, tension, or safety. It may also support a more compassionate understanding of physical responses that have been shaped by trauma. However, body-based exercises can evoke strong reactions for some people. The practical implication is that readers should use them slowly, adapt them as needed, and seek qualified professional support if they experience escalating distress, dissociation, or feel unable to regain emotional balance. The book is best understood as a supportive resource, not a substitute for individualized treatment. Fourthly, rebuilding self-trust and confidence after trauma-related doubt and shame. The workbook explicitly includes exercises intended to rebuild self-trust and confidence. This is a meaningful focus because sexual trauma can undermine confidence in perception, judgment, bodily signals, and personal worth. Survivors may question whether they correctly understood what happened, whether they can recognize unsafe situations, or whether their needs are legitimate. These forms of doubt can be reinforced by shame, self-blame, coercive dynamics, or responses from others that minimize the harm. A recovery resource that addresses self-trust does more than encourage positive thinking. It can invite readers to notice their preferences, recognize internal signals, identify choices they have made to survive, and practice treating their own responses as worthy of attention. The reported journaling prompts are especially suited to this work. Because writing can make patterns visible over time, a person may identify situations where they ignored discomfort, moments when they protected themselves, or beliefs that equate self-care with selfishness. Confidence in this context is not presented as constant certainty or fearlessness. More realistically, it involves building a basis for making decisions while accepting that uncertainty exists. The book's survivor-informed positioning may strengthen this theme by speaking to experiences often accompanied by isolation or disbelief. Still, self-guided exercises have limits where shame is severe or intertwined with ongoing abuse. In those circumstances, confidential support and specialized therapeutic care may be essential alongside personal reflection. Lastly, healthy boundaries and support systems connect recovery to everyday relationships. Ocampo's workbook includes guidance on setting and honoring healthy boundaries and discusses building support systems. These topics extend recovery beyond internal symptom management into daily relationships, where many trauma effects are felt most directly. Boundaries can involve physical space, privacy, communication time, sexual consent, emotional labor, and the right to change one's mind. For survivors whose autonomy was violated, boundary work is not merely a social skill. It can be a way of restoring choice and clarifying that comfort, safety, and consent are valid considerations. The phrase honoring boundaries also broadens the task beyond learning to state a limit. Readers may need to recognize their own limits, tolerate guilt or fear that follows a refusal, and assess whether other people respond respectfully. Support systems are equally important because trauma often produces isolation, secrecy, or difficulty trusting help. The book reportedly addresses this area in accessible terms, which may help readers consider what kinds of support feel safe and useful. Support need not mean disclosing every detail. It may include a trusted friend, a therapist, a survivor group, healthcare provider, or crisis service. The practical strength of combining boundaries with support is that it avoids treating healing as an exclusively private project. At the same time, the approach requires realism. Not every relationship is safe, and a workbook cannot determine whether a current environment is abusive. Readers facing immediate danger should prioritize local emergency and specialized sexual violence resources. In conclusion, Healing Sexual Trauma Workbook is most appropriate for adult survivors seeking a structured, self-paced companion for reflection, grounding, body awareness, emotional regulation, and relationship-related recovery work. It may also be useful to readers who have begun therapy and want between session practices, provided those practices are used in coordination with a qualified clinician when needed. Its practical benefit lies in translating broad trauma recovery goals into activities noticing nervous system states, journaling, reconnecting with bodily experience carefully, strengthening self-trust, and considering healthier boundaries and support. Readers looking for a comprehensive diagnostic manual, a substitute for psychotherapy, or a guaranteed path to symptom resolution should set different expectations. The available information presents the book as a workbook and supportive guide, not individualized treatment. Within a crowded self-help category, the book stands out through its stated combination of survivor perspective, certified trauma practitioner background, and emphasis on both somatic and reflective tools. Many trauma books concentrate primarily on psychoeducation or cognitive reframing. Ocampo's described approach gives comparable attention to the body, regulation skills, written reflection, personal agency, and relational safety. That combination is relevant because sexual trauma can affect more than thoughts. It can shape physical sensations, emotional responses, boundaries, and confidence in one's own judgment. The book appears best positioned as an accessible, trauma-informed resource for gradual engagement. Its value is likely greatest when readers use its exercises flexibly, respect their limits, and supplement self-guided work with professional or community support whenever symptoms, safety concerns, or emotional intensity call for it. If you would like to support Paulo Campo, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.